Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres just coming off a sweep, an off day, and now five games against two of the worst teams in the National League. Two against the Rockies, four against the Giants. And after that is a very special day. Monday, August 3rd, 3 p.m., trade deadline. Ryan, where would you like to start?
They're back, Kevin. The Padres are back. They swept the Miami Marlins, which, hey, is better than getting swept by the Miami Marlins. Come back from a 10-game road trip, exactly 5-5, which I believe, Kevin, you predicted right around the time they started this road trip. We're no closer to knowing whether they're buyers or sellers, but things seem to be trending in the buying direction at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, I do think that we are closer. I know the tenor of your statement, but like I think we're closer to knowing their buyers, but we really don't know. Yeah, look, AJ Preller all along was looking for a reason to be a buyer, at least a buyer of some sort. Now, he's not even sure what he has to work with. He's got all sorts of ideas. He's talked to all sorts of people, you know, his counterparts at other teams, has, you know, frameworks of possibilities of potential trades. And I put it that way because that's where we're at. There's a lot of talk out there and people hear a name and they go, oh, my gosh, that's close. We're not close. But he wants to make this team better for 2026. And his team kind of gave him a reason to. You know who helped? The Cardinals, the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, the Marlins, because the Padres are a game and a half out of the of a playoff spot, despite having started that trip 2-5. And then obviously the sweep, they helped themselves, but you know, where they're at, other people have to lose too. So it's sort of amazing. 5-5 on that trip. They'll start tonight, a game and a half back.
Right. Two against the Colorado Rockies, followed by four against the San Francisco Giants. Kevin, what's the shopping list here as AJ Preller charts a path forward at the trade deadline?
It starts with a starting pitcher, and it's probably one. And I feel like every time I say it's a starting pitcher, because everyone knows the state of their rotation, I have to explain why it's a starting pitcher. Because you got Michael King. You're thinking maybe you slot Walker Buehler in at a 3 or a 4. You get another starting pitcher plus slot in at your 2 or 3. And then you have Joe Musgrove and or Nick Pivetta for the finish, and then what you would hope would be the playoffs. And so there's four starters, and you figure it out from there, right? They also need a left-handed hitting outfielder, might need a reliever. It's, you know, one starter is probably where it's at. Now, do they pick up a second one who's like a J.P. Sears type of, guy? Yeah, I guess they could, but you know, they don't have necessarily, from my understanding, probably not going to have a lot of money to add to the payroll. And while I don't think their situation, especially with AJ Preller's creativity, is as dire as everyone says with this quote unquote last ranked minor league system, they don't have the capital, the prospect capital to spend that they have in the past.
Sure. Could we see any Padres veterans moved as part of a buying situation here?
Sure. I mean, but the problem is they're not like this super deep team anywhere except, oh, the bullpen, and they're not as deep as they were. Right. So are you trying to win? Well, what are you doing trading Adrian Morahone then? You know, are you trying to win? Anybody outside of, say, Yuki Matsui or Wandy Peralta, right? A team needs a left-handed a reliever. That would be a real win-win for the Padres if they were to, you know, be able to unload one of those guys and future contracts. I think one more for Wandy and two more for Yuki. So they have an abundance of left-handed relievers. Obviously, they're expecting Jeremiah Estrada back and Jason Adam back, at least Jeremiah sooner. But they're expecting those guys back. And so they're, you know, they got to make room in their bullpen. Doesn't necessarily have to be for one of the three left-handers, or it's actually four with Kyle Hart. But, you know, I could see a move there. Unloading, say, like, who else is valuable? Ty France? Well, what are you doing then? You know?
Cronenworth?
So, I mean, Cronenworth? Are you trying to win?
Yeah.
sure, Cronenworth, but like someone is either then taking on some of his salary, and so then you're not going to get a whole lot back for that, right. Or they're taking on all of his salary, and you ain't getting anything back for that. Talking right. to the president of the Jay Cronenworth fan club here, but let's be real, right?
Right.
So yes, absolutely. People are always asking about Cronenworth. How much are they going for it here? That will be fascinating if it's a buy sell situation. And then we'll be able to debate, well, okay, they made themselves better here, but are you really trying to win in 26, or was this a move for the future? I mean, there's a lot of ways they can go.
Sure. Do you think they need a catcher?
Well, sure, but they're not going to get one.
Okay.
I mean, first off, everyone's looking for starting pitcher. So you can say you want a starting pitcher, but there's more of those. A lot of people need a catcher.
Right.
And the Padres have Luis Camposano and they have Freddie Fermin. And hey, for better or worse, man, they invested in Freddie Fermin and mm-hmm. they believe Freddie Fermin is better than what he's showing this year. And so, yes, they need a catcher. Are they going to get one? Like, at what expense? I mean, what are you talking about here? JT Realmuto, who's not the offensive player that he was? I mean, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. Yes, but no.
Got it. It makes sense. Kevin, if hypothetically they add a left-handed hitting outfielder, a guy who can play presumably left field, what does that mean? Does that mean that Luis Renjifo becomes a bench bat? Does that mean that Gavin Sheets gets a break? What do we think?
I think Gavin Sheets gets a break. He's spelling mm-hmm. people different mm-hmm. places. Unless he all of a sudden gets hot, because he has been super cold. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you make that run going forward really confident that Luis Renjifo is going to continue like he has, though right. it's not unheard of. Or that, with Gavin Sheets isn't going to get back to hot Gavin Sheets. And look, he's due. Like, that was Gavin Sheets last year, right? There was a cold spell where you're like, and they go out and they get Ramon Laureano, and boom, all of a sudden Gavin Sheets goes crazy for a month mm-hmm. and a half. So, he's due, but it's just rough to envision, if they have the opportunity to do it, that they would not. Because that was, for a time, that was right up there with starting pitching in terms of the needs. Starting pitching's always been their number one need. But before you get Renjifo, before you get Samad Taylor, who's now on the IL, you're going, well, we can't even pretend to be a contender without another bat.
Right. And those two guys, one after another, I mean, Taylor and then Renjifo, when Taylor got hurt, those two guys have put together a pretty good 5 weeks for the Padres here, keeping them afloat here as we head into mm-hmm. a very big week. Kevin, you talk about Gavin Sheets getting right. This pitcher tonight might be the guy to get right against. Let's get into the pitching matchups here for the next two nights against the Colorado Rockies. Tonight, it is Rockies right-hander Michael Lorenzen, 3-9 with a 6.53 ERA. My goodness, that ERA seems high, you say? Well, yes. He leads the majors in hits allowed and is tied for the National League lead in losses. Opposing hitters are batting .327 with a .914 OPS against him this year. He's the best hitting pitcher still in baseball. Doesn't work. That doesn't help you anymore, Kevin. This could be a good game if you're the Padres going up against Lorenzen as Michael King. It should be. It's a bad team starting their worst guy going up against Michael King. Padres are 1-3 in his last four starts, but King's allowed, he's had a 1.96 ERA. He had a two-hit shutout against the Rockies last year. This is the one night where you can try to at least pencil in five innings from the starting pitcher.
Yes. And certainly now, with the way that they're going about with this basically two-man rotation and 11-man bullpen, you need length out of Walker Buehler and Michael King. And the reason you're relying on those two guys is because you think you're going to get it. And look, if the Rockies are going to beat you tonight, you would think it's going to be 7-6 or 9-8. We've seen the Padres not rise to the occasion against a starter like this before, but we're at the point in the season where you don't get to say it's baseball, right? Now, that will be what someone says, and then I will say back, you're not going to be playing baseball very long in 2026 because you've got to crush tonight.
Yes, you do. You do. And the Padres, again, last year especially, made their bones by beating bad teams, right? You beat bad teams, and you fight against the good ones, and you're going to make the playoffs, right? I mean, if you can just beat the bad teams on your schedule. Again, a little bit different this year, as evidenced a little bit by their last road trip where they really struggled against a Royals team that's nobody's idea of good, you know.
When you talk about the Padres as a contender for the playoffs, like no one in that organization believes they're a contender now, but right. they're close. Now, do you don't just want to be a contender for the playoffs? You want to be a contender for the World Series. They have to get better to do that. But in terms of sizing up their playoff chances, what you just said is key. Right. If they, I haven't done the math in the last few days, but their schedule isn't great going forward. Right. If they just do against losing teams going forward, what they've done against losing teams to date, the Padres will be very close to making the playoffs.
Right.
So what you said is absolutely true for them. Like beat up. So that's like a 65% to 70% win rate. At this point, you need to be pushing. We're all in, and we're going to, you know, 7 out of 10 games against Rockies and Giants going to win. And then you go 500 against the bad teams. You're in the playoffs.
Right. And you know what? You're allowed to string together some wins here. I mean, the Padres have won three in a row. If that could grow to, say, 6 or 7 in a row, you know, you're playing the Rockies for 2, then the Giants for 4. Let's say you win your next 4. I wonder how their playoff calculus shifts, right? They're at 15% now to make the playoffs. I wonder what that would be if they were to win, say, 4 more games in a row, get that winning streak to 7.
Right. And it would obviously depend on Pirates and Diamondbacks play the next 2 nights. What do the Nationals and Cardinals do? But it'll be up there. It was 7% 3 days ago. It will go. The funny thing about these playoff odds is, and I think obviously baseball fans that follow understand, but you hear like 15% and you're like, well, that's nothing. I wouldn't go out and bet on something 15%. But the best wild card team, right? At this point only has like a 40% chance, right? It's baseball is just so capricious. You know, I love that word, Ryan. Baseball just is so bizarre and anything can happen on any night that like 15% is not good, but it's a lot better than it sounds.
Yeah, that's true. And again, the beauty of fighting for a wild card spot and not, say, the National League West title is you're going up against a lot of mediocre teams. Mediocre teams are mediocre for a reason, right? So, but the Padres are too at the moment. But you know what? The odds of, let's say, the Arizona Diamondbacks losing tonight are much better than the odds of the Dodgers losing tonight, you know?
And I think it was as of Sunday night, of all the, let's say, this included the Cubs and the Phillies. I think of all those teams, the 7 or 8 National League wildcard contenders, the Padres either had the 1st or 2nd best record over the previous 10 games. And that was 5-5. Like that's what we're talking about. Now that will change over the next 10 games. Those teams could be 8-2 or whatever, but you know, probably not. So yes, the Padres are mediocre. You know who was mediocre? And I'm not going to name a World Series winner, but I'm going to name 2 teams that went to the World Series. And one of them is the 2022 Phillies, who barely got into the postseason, and then they made the World Series, beating the Padres in the NLCS. The worse than mediocre for most of the season was the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2023, made it to the World Series, beat the Dodgers in the NLDS. The difference between a team in August 1st and October 1st can be immense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the Padres aren't the only team that's going to try to buy here at the deadline too. You know, some other teams in that group might try to get better as well. Real quick, Wednesday's pitching matchup, Gabriel Hughes, number one pick or 10th overall pick, first round pick of the Rockies back in 2022. He'll be going up against Kyle Hart. Hughes is pretty good. He hasn't won a game yet, but he has a 2.79 ERA. Kyle Hart will likely be the opener here in front of Griffin Canning. At least that's what they did the last time through the rotation. You know, Kevin, when it works, the opener thing's kind of fun, but man, is it taxing on a bullpen, isn't it?
Yes, and here's that's why they shifted everything. And I guess I'd still be shocked if it's Hart Canning, just because, like, yes, it's Canning's turn to pitch, but man, putting him out there, they're going to find the right lane for Griffin Canning. Let me put it that way. That the reason they've gone to where there are three members of their starting rotation, and if you count Matt Waldron, I think that's four members of their starting rotation, are now relievers, is because right. of what you said. I mean, the opener thing just is not sustainable, and especially they weren't winning those games. Their openers were doing great. Right. But then trying to get four or five innings from their starter just wasn't happening, and it wasn't going to happen. So now they all right, that's it, forget it. We're going to, well, this might be what people think is an opener. This might be what people think is a piggyback game. This might be just a full-on bullpen game. But we have the flexibility based on the lineups that we're facing to put our pitchers in the best possible situation. And it's not always going to be. Like when I say they're going to find the right lane for Griffin Canning and they're going to try to get him to get five outs, let's say. Mm-hmm. Three of those are going to be guys that Griffin Canning matches up really well with. And two, they're going to hold their breath. Yep. But, you know, that's better than if he, you know, you put him in as a starter and the way he's pitching right now, you're holding your breath half the time that this guy, mm-hmm. or more than half the time, like, mm-hmm. oh man. And so that's why they've gone to an 11 man bullpen with six guys who've gone three innings this year. I mean, yeah. like they, you know, Kyle Hart and Waldron, in addition to Marquez, Canning, Vasquez, Hart. So.
Right. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. Today is no different. They had an off day yesterday. What does Kevin Acey do on his first day back in town after a 10-game road trip?
Writes a story.
He sure did.
Talks to some people. Finds out nothing. goes swimming with the grandkids for 4 hours. Goes to the winery with his wife and his best friends. And gets a lot of sleep for the first time in a long time. There, I overshared.
That sounds like a pretty full, pretty excellent day, actually.
Oh my gosh, it was so good, Ryan. But now, I mean, you know what? An off day every once in a while to get geared up for what? Hey, finally, right? We got a podcast. We're talking about a team that just swept. We're talking about a team that might actually be a buyer. So I'm actually, you know, fired up for this week.
Absolutely. Padres, Rockies, Petco Park, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon. Then the Giants come to town for four. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.